The first lesson is from Acts chapter 10. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of the Resurrection of our Lord is from Mark chapter 16.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him. But go, tell the disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I invite the children to come forward.
Happy Easter. Christ died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. I know some of you are sitting kind of far away from me. Christ is risen. I promise I am not dying. I just have really bad allergies this spring. We heard this morning that when the tomb was rolled away, when women came to see Jesus and to prepare him for burial, he wasn't there, but who was?
An angel.
An angel? Yeah. Many think he was an angel. We are told he was young. A young man. Some would say a teenager, perhaps. Some of you, well, one of you, already is a teenager. All the rest of you will become teenagers much, much too soon. You're currently a teenager. Thank you for telling us, Cameron. Cameron, what did you once say about becoming a teenager?
When I grow up, I don't want to marry. No, wait, no, that's the wrong one. When I grow up, I want to be a teenager.
And?
Have lots of friends, and there will be pretty girls, and mouses and bouses.
And mouses, bouses. How old were you?
Like two.
2 years old. We tell that story often in our family. We remember it, and it's fun to remember, especially when we see that video of you where you said that with so much exuberation and joy.
And you had Colorado on his head.
Even more so than you did just now. It's fun to remember, to tell stories that make us happy, that make us laugh, stories that help us enjoy ourselves. Enjoy our lives. I'm sure you down there have some stories too, right? What are some of your most fun stories and memories, you think? Yeah, Ben?
Baseball.
Just all the stories about baseball?
Baseball every day.
Baseball every day. Yeah, I love it. Well, the story that we heard this morning, the story that we keep telling, Jesus' story, it's famously called the greatest story ever told by many. It appears as if it has the saddest possible ending, the cross. But then there's a wonderful surprise ending. Maybe it's not a surprise anymore after we've heard it so many times. I always know that the punchline about mouses, bouses is coming, and yet I still love that story. I hope that you come to love this story of Jesus. Though it may not be a surprise, to love it nevertheless. I hope you come to love and never stop loving and telling this story of how much Jesus loves you and me. Will you pray with me this morning? God, you loved us so much that you sent your only Son, so that whomsoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Help us to believe. Help us to love you, to know you, and especially, God, to learn to follow you and your way of life. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You all can go back to your seats.
Well, you all heard it. That's the conclusion of the Gospel of Mark. Wraps up the message for today. Go now and flee in terror, seized with fear, and tell no one what you have seen here today. This is not the Easter message we are accustomed to hearing, and certainly not the one that we will find ourselves telling. Jesus Christ is risen today. Ah! Run for your lives! Mark tells us those first disciples didn't know what to do. Most any Bible that you pick up, this one included, will continue this final chapter of the gospel with verses 9 through 20. And a huge disclaimer in tiny print in the footnote. See if I can find the one here real quick. If I could turn less than 6 pages at once, that would be helpful to me. Let's see here. It says, some of the most ancient authorities bring the book to a close at the end of verse 8. One authority continues the book with the shorter ending. Others include the shorter ending and then conclude with verses 9 through 20. In most authorities, verses 9 through 20 follow immediately after verse 8, though in some of these authorities, the passage is marked as being doubtful. That's from the New Revised Standard Version. The New International Version, the most widely read modern English translation in this country, simply says the earliest of the manuscripts in the original ancient Greek and some other ancient witnesses do not have the additional verses. It appears likely someone or some ones among the earliest transcribers decided, what? No, this simply won't do. It can't end like that. Mark, my brother, you forgot to mention. And proceeded to wrap the story up nicely and tie it with a neat little bow. And some who then received manuscripts with the addendum considered it and said, I can see why these last verses would be there, but I can't in good conscience say I don't find this a bit fishy. Many people in this day and age will write off the entirety of the scripture as unreliable, assuming these redactions occur again and again, and who knows what the original said, which is ignorant of the fact that many early manuscripts still exist. They agree and they can be accessed for modern research. And the aforementioned footnotes in this Bible and others are quite transparent. But along with the first disciples, we can say those earliest scribes don't know and didn't know what to do at the end of Mark's gospel. But now do we know what to do? If not, at least we're in good company. But the Moravian church writer Audrey West suggests we begin with believing the promise this young man at the empty tomb reminded Mary Magdalene, and Salome that Jesus had made. I agree that that's a great place to start. He is going ahead of you. Whether the fear and terror and amazement and running away is what should end the Gospel of Mark or not, it's clearly not the end of Jesus' story, nor of ours. Those three women obviously overcame the hesitation to speak of what they had seen. Otherwise, we might never be hearing it. They become the very first to proclaim the good news that Jesus is risen. These three women. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Jesus is going ahead of you. Jesus is going ahead of me, as he always has. His first instructions to his disciples and to those who would be his disciples if they had accepted the invitation, come and follow me. As West writes, there is nothing Jesus' followers will endure, no place they can go that Jesus isn't already there. I love to hike. I especially love to tromp through the forest in the summer, enjoy the nice cool shade from the canopy of trees, and reach a nice pinnacle, taking in an expansive view before circling back around to the start. I prefer a loop so you don't have to look at the same stuff all over again. hopefully with some nice streams and or lakes to see and to listen to and sometimes even wade into a bit when I'm brave enough to brave that cold, cold snow melt off. And I've got to admit, I'm a lot more willing to endure the switchbacks, the sweat and the strain when I'm confident that I can expect there's going to be something amazing when I get there. Jesus showed that to his followers time and time again in his life and ministry. Undoubtedly, it was hard for them. Sometimes sleeping with rocks in the desert for a pillow, being rejected, ridiculed, giving up stable, if not always comfortable, lives to be a part of something bigger, something capable of changing the whole world. But they go to partake in the witness of miracles, the healing of the sick, the feeding of the poor, the renewing of people's hope and faith in God, who some were starting to believe had abandoned them, or at least had been obscured by the self-proclaimed protectors of their faith. Undoubtedly, it should be hard for us to follow him. It's not all majestic peaks, but in fact, often deep, sunken valleys, places it's hard to imagine getting yourself out of once you've gotten yourself into them. It's not avoiding the world's problems to go hide out behind a secure fence, or as those first disciples did, a locked room. But to follow Jesus was and always is worth it. Again, anywhere you go, Jesus will have gone before you, even to death, which perhaps is the most unfamiliar to each of us, to each of our individual experiences, even if we've known others who have died. It's the greatest of all the unknowns and the greatest fear of mortal humankind. But sometimes the places that we must go to follow Jesus are very familiar. It's not always some remote village in the global south, not always a prison for the persecuted, not always the grave of a martyr, not even a stage upon which to share your faith story, a horrific thought for those unaccustomed and unwilling toward public speaking. It's not always, but it could be sharing about your faith with your neighbor, which for many of us would be overcoming what we call Lutheran laryngitis about publicly discussing matters of faith. But the instruction from the angel at the tomb was to go to Galilee, and you will find him there. That's where these women were from. That's where Jesus was from. At the end of this morning service, after we sing, after we recite our fair share of alleluias, for Jesus is risen, after we commune, after we listen to and offer a few announcements, we will be dismissed. We'll have a cup of coffee or two, maybe a nice little sweet treat. Maybe go out and grab brunch, stop at the store for a couple of things. But then ultimately we will head home. Go there. Go home. And like the first disciples, you will find Jesus there, waiting for you. You will find challenges. You will find temptations, you will find frustrations, but you will also find opportunities. Opportunities to move beyond fears, to find comfort in being uncomfortable, to tell the story and to make it your own story, to enter and to become a part of God's story of salvation and the renewal of the whole world. Not the end, just the wild wonder that is the middle. Amen.
Amen.